All right, welcome in. We are officially Brent Rollins one day away from the championship game. Obviously, NFL playoffs going on, legends being made, the Kansas City Chiefs doing Kansas City Chiefs things no matter what happens. Some would argue the refs doing refs things no matter what happens. I'm pretty cool guest. David Braun coming on, Northwestern's new football coach as of a couple years ago, took over for Pat Fitzgerald. Played Ohio State. From texting with him, Brent, like, he's in the loop. He's dialed into these games, yep. Interested to get his opinion, you know, in the league, playing Ohio State, what his thoughts are, and then what he's seeing. It's always good to get a coach and to pick his brain. And they see the game a little bit differently, obviously, than players and people like me and you. But it'll be interesting to ask some cool questions.
Yeah, and he got to see Jeremiah Smith up close in person. How tough is it to actually plan for and stop that guy? Because that's probably primo number one thing that Notre Dame has to concern themselves with. Obviously, Ohio State has a plethora of options offensively, but he's a difference maker to the nth degree. But, yeah, we're less than 24 hours from the game, and it's going to be a big day tomorrow. It was a big weekend, actually. I think I may have seen you on social media attending – a certain basketball game this weekend.
Good game too.
It was a very good game. Georgia played terribly, unfortunately, and still had a chance to make that. But
hold on. Yep, we just missed another free throw.
Yeah,
continue. Go ahead.
What was interesting about it is the reason I saw a really good picture of you that I think it's probably an intern took there, and it says a couple of.
Oh, thank you, Wes.
Darn good dogs in the house there. And they welcome back Brock Bowers and Amarius Mims. And completely – so you're a Jag now, I guess. You're just a guy. Heaven forbid they call out the three-time All-American that is sitting almost right beside the three-time All-American. So,
It was funny. It's called being an old guy. That's just the way it is, man. You recognize – Brock Bowers and Mims, recent studs. You don't recognize old, has-beens a long time ago. So no feelings hurt Georgia basketball. Just we got to finish the game a little bit stronger. You know, like that would have been been a good thing down the stretch. But no, there's the Brock Bowers that we know and love, and a lovely fan right behind, just smiling right in the middle. But. There we go. Hey, we talked about it, Brent, to start the show, man. Bringing on David Braun, obviously coach of Northwestern, obviously knows Ohio State, knows the Big Ten. But, Coach, real quickly, just, being in your new league, I mean, that's ever-changing with coaches, with new teams coming in, obviously, new experiences. So how has it been in coming into the Big Ten? And – I think it's kind of cool to talk to you, Coach, too, because coming from North Dakota State, where you know what it's like to play in multiple team playoffs, not just the four team, not just the two team. So you've got experience on that as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, the FCS experience, it's been so neat to see the expanded playoff, show up in FBS football. My 4 years at North Dakota State were, those are some of my most memorable, game
because all you do is win. Is just collect championships.
We were fortunate, a lot of wins along the way, but I mean, playoff football at its best, it's a one game season, 1 week at a time, and to see that showing up in full display at the FBS level has been really fun to see, and something for us at Northwestern to really chase after. In this new landscape, a place like Northwestern, where maybe you're not going to consistently be ranked in the top 25 preseason, well, there's an opportunity. Hey, how do we find a way to get ourselves in the playoff conversation by the end of the year? But this new Big Ten has been awesome. A lot of different scheduling pairings that can play out each season, but with the additions of Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA on top of the Michigans, the Ohio States, the Penn States, the list goes on and on. The league certainly has not gotten any easier, and it's a fun challenge ahead. But really excited to see this matchup between Ohio State and Notre Dame. So much respect for the way that both Marcus and Ryan run their programs, and I mean, it shows tangibly up on film, whether it's, you know, coaches film or just watching on TV. I mean, these are two teams that truly embody, you know, team. They play for one another. They care for one another. Both those head coaches and programs have done such a great job of really building team culture. And that's why, you know, they're not only very talented, but have an opportunity to win national championships.
So, Coach, you actually obviously played Ohio State this year, and it was a very good game until, unfortunately, a special teams issue kind of took things in a different direction, but controlled the pace of the game for a while and hung with them for a while. So, planning as you plan for Ohio State and look at how Notre Dame is planning for Ohio State, the explosives on the outside with Jeremiah Smith and Egbuka and Tate versus the running game, how do you manage that in terms of focus on a down-to-down basis? Because I think rewatching the game too, you guys went every list of coverage I think possible. You threw into the game plan.
Yeah. No, I mean, you could probably see it in terms of the way that we were trying to approach it. But I mean, the best defense against those guys is keeping them off the field. I mean, not allowing them to have the football, and you know, that's easier said than done against the quality defense and what Coach Knowles and those guys have done. But we knew that we were going to have to find ways to possess the football. The goal was to make it a one-score game going into the fourth quarter, and at that point, anything can happen. But, you know, you got to pick your poison against those guys. I mean, Coach Kelly has done such a great job, and a credit to Coach Day for, you know, I mean, talk about checking your ego at the door and just figuring out, like, what's going to be best for the program. For him to hand over play calling duties and do what he's done, I told him pregame, I mean, it's just a testament to his humility and character. But you feel like you can't win against those guys because, you know, you're playing versions. You're trying to, you know, display some sort of man coverage, close middle of the field, and you snap into cover two. And, you know, good quarterback and good wide receivers, they find soft spots in the zone. And then you choose to tighten coverage and play man, and you know, all of a sudden the ball's, you know, lifted over your head, and some of the best wide receivers in the country. You know, and was proud of the way that our guys competed, but against a team like Ohio State, you can't make mistakes. And, you know, those mistakes quickly turn into, you know, a team like Ohio State getting up two scores, and then, you know, after that, the momentum has totally shifted. But you got to find ways against these guys, in my opinion, to demonstrate pictures that are false reads for the quarterback and force them to process post-snap and allow time for your pass rush to get home. You know, the second thing behind keeping them off the field in terms of affecting these guys on offense is finding ways to affect Will Howard in the pocket and not feel like he has time to go through his full progression.
Well, and Coach, when you look at – I'd be interested to hear your thought on this, because – it's so strange, man, to watch a team change so much. Like last game of the season and what they did and who they were versus Michigan. Coach, you watch them and we're watching this tape and we're going, okay, now they're running counter 50% of the time. And like to go from one philosophy, Jeremiah Smith didn't exist in the slot for most of the season. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah Smith in the slot, great idea. I mean, Obviously you gain experience too as a freshman, but like, I've never seen a system, and we've never had the 12-team playoff at this level, but like I've never seen a system change so much. And obviously that's a credit to Chip too and all the offense that he knows. But like watching this team the last several weeks in the playoffs, I mean, how much different is it was when you saw them in the season and to what they are now?
Yeah, no, it's definitely evolved, and whether that's a response to dramatic change or just things that they had in their package that they hadn't put on film or tendency shift, who knows. But you know, I think it's a credit to the players and their ability to adjust. I think it's a credit to the coaching staff as a whole of just being really honest with themselves and what they needed to do to be playing their best football going into the playoffs. But you said it perfectly, David. I mean, you know, Jeremiah Smith in the slot, like you can find answers when that guy's lined up at the X or at the Z. But when he's lined up at the slot or you don't know where he's going to be lined up, it becomes much more difficult to game plan against him. Not to mention the fact that, you know, he's not the only talented wide receiver they have in that group. There's so much depth in that room. And you know, it's something that you saw from them defensively. You can tell this is, you know, in some ways a top-down thing from Coach Day. You know, they were intentionally more multiple as the season went along. You know, we're watching them against Purdue on defense, and also they're getting into odd structure. And then, you know, they show up against us and they're way more pressure heavy than they've been in the past. And you're starting to ask yourself, are they doing this intentionally just to mess with people's numbers and tendencies, or are they trying to just get a little bit more volume on the defense side of the ball? But you can tell that's very well thought out and calculated. And, you know, I think a testament to a great team and a great coaching staff is how they respond after really difficult losses. And obviously a loss to Michigan, there's, you know, other than losing in the playoffs, there's none tougher at Ohio State, I would assume. And the way that this team has responded in the playoff, you know, again, as someone that is a Northwestern fan first and can't wait to see Northwestern continue to rise, you know, if you're not in the playoff, you're rooting for those Big Ten teams to have a ton of success. And it's been really neat to see what Ohio State has been able to do.
All right, so we talked a lot about their offense. Sorry, Brent. So we talked a lot about their offense. To me, the biggest difference in Ohio State this year and all the teams in the past that we could point to with C.J. Stroud, with Justin Fields, whoever, we can go back as long as you want. To me, man, this defense is totally different. And, like, I don't see a real weakness, Coach. Like, I don't see a real spot in the past. I mean, I see areas where I say I want to attack their corners, but I think they've done such a great job of being able to protect it, and then the rush can get home too. And depending on whether the ref wants to be, you know, call handsiness or not, because they're handsy as crap. I mean, that's a felony in some states what they do. You know, talk about their defense and how it is to how much more improved they are, and how do you attack them, or what do you think the best way to attack them is?
Gosh, you know, I mean, that's a great question. In our prep, we were coming off of a bye, and I mean, you know, we're just trying to find any way possible to find a chink in the armor with these guys. And, you know, I certainly feel like you need to stay balanced, and you need to stay ahead of the sticks. And we did that early, and that certainly helped. But you cannot allow these guys up front to pin their ears back and go. I mean, you know, when you're sitting there at second and 11 and third and seven, you know, I mean, if you're at anything third and six plus, it's just an equation for not sustained offensive success throughout the day. And to your point, they do a great job, you know, whether they're getting called or not, they do a great job of disrupting timing and break point with routes, which is forcing quarterbacks to hold on the ball longer than they want, and allows the pass rush to get home. And again, I think they've done a great job of being multiple. You know, it's not like they're just sitting in single high man coverage all day long where, you know, hey, with press corner of the boundary, I can lift up this fade. Like, they've been multiple to the point that quarterbacks truly do have to process post-snap. And really impressed with the safeties, really impressed with their slot area defender play. And, I mean, you could see it in the Texas game, that defensive line. I mean, they had some guys dinged up when we played them, but being back to, you know, as close to full health as you can be, you can see that D-line really starting to, not that they haven't prior, but really starting to take a stronghold in these games in the playoff run.
Looking ahead to the matchup, obviously Riley Leonard with his legs and his ability, like your quarterback, Bausch, like that's had some success and got some first downs, I think at least three or four first downs with his legs. How important is that? I mean, we know it's going to be important, but how do you, I guess, scheme for it, but also allow the quarterback to have that level of success with their legs?
Yeah, no, it's one of those things from a defense perspective going against someone like Riley. It's, you know, you're picking your poison a little bit. I've made a mistake as a defensive play caller. You become so concerned about a quarterback's legs that you pull the rush off, and all of a sudden he's comfortable and he gets in rhythm early in the game. Before you know it, his arm talent's taking advantage of you. What I would say, you know, from observing, we didn't play Notre Dame this year, but just from observing and some crossover film and seeing him over the course of the last few games, I think they've done a great job of, you know, obviously finding ways to establish the run, but utilizing Riley in the run game. And then, you know, to your point with Jack, when things break down on third and six, there's nothing more frustrating as a defensive coordinator feeling like you've made a great call, you've executed that call, and all of a sudden the quarterback, you know, pops through B gap and picks up 8 yards and moves the chains. And that's, you know, we played against Duke last year when Riley was down at Duke. And I mean, that was a frustrating day for us. And you know, I had on full display what he can do with his legs and his arm talent. really feel like if Notre Dame can stay ahead of the chains and put themselves in situations where they can utilize quarterback run game on third down, like the you see with the Bills, using Kelly or Josh Allen, excuse me, and you know, keep Ohio State's defense at times guessing in those critical downs. You know, there's an opportunity for success there.
Yeah, and when you watch Notre Dame, like Coach, I chalk it up, man. When you get in short yardage situations, when you get in goal line situations, Riley Leonard, mm-hmm. people don't understand he's big, he's yep. strong, okay. he's athletic. But the most impressive thing to me, Coach, is he sees it. Like he sees where to cut, where to go. Ohio State has been a wall, like a mass of humanity. Every goal line situation, man, they've been so good. Like, how do you attack that? Who wins that matchup? Because if Notre Dame can't win that matchup, like, dude, it's a wrap because they're not super explosive. They're kind of going to get – they got to get their little chunks they can. They got to get in those manageable situations. But Riley Leonard has been automatic in those situations.
No doubt he has. And that's just the element of quarterback run game that becomes so frustrating on the defensive side of the ball. You know, again – I think it's be critical for Notre Dame to keep this, you know, either create a lead early or keep it a one score game where they feel like they can, you know, have full comfort calling, you know, their entire offense and don't feel like the clock is their enemy and don't have to hurry things up. You know, it's going to be a great challenge for Ohio State, but also a great challenge for Notre Dame because, I mean, this front from Ohio State and the way that they've been able to defend the run. You know, we were sitting there game planning for Ohio State. And how do we find ways to be efficient in the run game? And, you know, it was quite the task going into that game, feeling like we could find advantage, whether it was in matchups or just angles in terms of the way that they're structured and the multiplicity that they show. It'll certainly be a challenge for Notre Dame. But to Notre Dame's credit, they've been up to that challenge. I mean, to see what they did and the way they closed the game out against Georgia was something that was really impressive to see.
In terms of Notre Dame's defense, Coach, I know you've obviously probably studied it as well. They're such a man-heavy team. Now, obviously, they're going to show looks and show things and try to change the picture as much, but it'll get to some level of man. If you know that that's your identity, is that something when you look at, hey, I'm matching up against Ohio State's talent, do I lean into it or do I maybe go a little bit different just to change that picture so much for the QB and cause some sort of hesitation, hopefully let the blitz and or rush get home?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, especially going against this wide receiving group. But I think it's one of those things, you know your identity and your identity got you to this point. So you don't want to deviate from it in the biggest game, not only of the year, but potentially of your life. And I think, you know, again, I'll just take it from my perspective and having had an opportunity to call defense for a long time before moving into a head coaching role. But, okay, we're going to stick to our identity, but we're going to understand based on formation what we're going to be presenting when we're in our most comfort calls and then have ways to post-snap into some big zone where we're playing over the top, we're playing with vision and forcing that quarterback to really question what he's getting post-snap. And again, you know, if you can find ways to disrupt routes and disrupt timing in the man coverage and buy some time for your pass rush, but then, you know, mix that look up and, you know, presenting man, and all of a sudden you're snapping into big zone and you got seven guys looking at the quarterback. You know, those are opportunities not only to let your pass rush get home, force the quarterback to process post-snap, but when the quarterback does make a mistake and you're playing vision defense, creates opportunities for takeaways. So, That's just, I mean, gosh, the job that they've done and the job that Coach Golden has done with that defense, really impressive. Stick to your true identity, but have some ways to really mix the picture up, you know, even if it's that curveball, you know, once every five plays, but really start to plant some seeds of doubt in that quarterback's mind.
How are you taking away four? I mean, is it a steady dose? And I'm talking about Jeremiah Smith. Is it a steady mm-hmm. dose of double team? Are you bringing a safety down and taking underneath? And or are you doing what different ways would you find to try to double team him and take him out of the game?
Yeah, you know, gosh, the you know, first answer is, you know, how do you find ways to double them? You know, and you know, whether that's playing quarter half or cover two. But you get to a point where when you're just allowing a guy to free release off the line that, you know, regardless of what you're doing, that can be a bad deal. I think you got to find some opportunities to press and disrupt them at the line of scrimmage. And maybe that's press, you know, with help over the top, you know, different ways of, you know, we had some techniques at North Dakota State that we use frequently where we'd get up and we call it SAP technique where we'd attack him off the line. That guy knew he had help over the top, some press bail off of it. I mean, just finding ways to mix up that picture. And to your point earlier, that's where him having opportunities to line up in the slot becomes so difficult. Like your options when he is lined up at a number one wide receiver, there's a lot of different things you can do. When he's in the slot, it becomes much more difficult to change that up on him. But I to answer your question directly, I think you got to find ways to double him, and then I think you got to find some opportunities to challenge him and get down and press. Hopefully you really like your matchup in that situation, or you're ensuring that, you know, you got help over the top for your corner.
Need it. You guys, by the way, and looking back at that game, you guys tackled really well, I thought, in that game. It was one of your better tackling games and helped limit some of the explosives for them after they got the catch.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Tim McGarvey, our defensive coordinator, I mean, alum, one of the best tacklers in all of college football history. Tim does such a phenomenal job. And, you know, I think if Tim were sitting with us today, he'd bring up about four plays that are still eating at him that we didn't tackle well. But, I mean, that's where it starts for us. We know at Northwestern that we got out fundamental, out technique, out effort people and play with great leverage. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you know, you're playing a national championship game or in the middle of season conference play, you better play with sound leverage against these guys and you better tackle and swarm the football. You know, one of their most critical plays, you know, I could be wrong here, but I believe it was the first drive coming out of the second half where they convert on a big third down and, you know, a couple missed tackles, you know, turns into what should have been 60. A 12-yard gain. Yeah, it's down the sideline. And that's what you have to eliminate against these guys. You know, if they catch a deep ball on you occasionally, it's one thing. But when you're playing with poor leverage, miss a few tackles, and now explosives start to pile up on you, it's going to turn into a long day for you against Ohio State.
Yeah, well, Coach, we so much appreciate your time, man. We know you're busy. Two last things. How are you going to watch the Natty? And then tell us about the new stadium look. It's going to be pretty cool what you guys are building on the stadium and the new look to it and how excited you are.
No, I appreciate you giving me some time to talk about that, David. You know, first off, watching the national championship game, it'll be, you know, my wife, Kristen, our two boys, you know, Lucas and Andrew, who are 9 and 7, who are the ultimate football junkies. You know, don't miss a game. They're out watching the Bills Ravens game right now as we speak. And our little girl, Blake, you know, going to watch the game as a family, excited for that. And, you know, so excited about what's going on with Northwestern football. New Ryan Field will be ready for the 2026 season, $850 million investment. Will be a great fan experience, incredible for our students and our student athletes. And, you know, the fun part, you know, there's chaos around college football right now. But that's okay. In chaos, there's opportunity. And we feel like we're really positioned at Northwestern to do some special things. There's so much to celebrate in terms of what's gone on around this program over the last three decades and things. There's a lot of reverence from me and others around here of what's come before us. And also a lot of excitement of what's on the horizon for this program and the new landscape. And David, I just want to tell you that, you know, one of our first times interacting here, but so much respect and admiration for you and the way you carry yourself, outspoken of your faith. And you know, the thing that I'll say that's very apparent about both Notre Dame and Ohio State, you know, I was looking for chinks in the armor with Ohio State. How can we find a way to attack these guys? Maybe they don't play as a team. Maybe they're a bunch of individuals. And these two teams right now, you know, when you watch them, it gives me goosebumps. It's, you know, a bunch of guys that play for one another, care about one another, know their purpose. They walk in it. They speak it. It's awesome to see. And, you know, I want you to know, you know, as a fan and someone that's observed you for a long time, It's an honor to be on with you guys today. So thank you.
Well, we appreciate that, Coach. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. And you're right, man. NIL day is like, it's kind of hard to find team, and it's harder than ever to build it, right? Like, it's hard to get people to buy in when some of these kids are making so much daggum money. So that stadium looks absolutely stupid, Coach. Yeah. And we'll definitely have you on again to pick your brain, and we appreciate your time.
No, looking forward to it, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, all right, man. Have a good one. Well, and it's official already, Brent, but the Ravens have officially taken care of business, the Bills have officially taken care of business, which I can only imagine the talk and what it's going to be and what we're going to get to, because you know where this is going, right? Like, you know where the national media absolutely goes right to, right?
Lamar's playoff failures.
Lamar's playoff failures. So great in the regular season. Can't get it done in the playoffs. They bring in Derrick Henry to take care of the rushing game. They kick a ton of field goals. They don't get it done. By the way, the weather looked absolutely miserable. Lost the turnover battle 3-1. Like, that's one thing. Like, you listen to Belichick doing all these different things on the Manning cast and all the TV. It's like, playoff games are lost. They're not won. They're lost. They're not won. Like, mistakes, getting back to mistakes. And so that narrative will be 100% fully in effect. And you brought in King Henry to not kick field goals. You know what I'm saying? You brought in Derrick Henry to pound the rock, to be more physical. And it's a shame that they didn't get it done. And it's just it's going to be an interesting offseason. But the MVP award probably will go to both. I think Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson
should
split it. I think they should too.
By the way, the stadium that Coach Braun was showing and that he was talking about, I'm pretty sure somebody's like an individual is writing a lot of humongous checks. That's not like a publicly funded thing. That's some people writing some really large checks that I will never, maybe only just see in the movies kind of thing.
Yeah, it's okay.
What he said about the team in aspect of both Notre Dame and Ohio State, I think is just invaluable in this world and sort of new playoff world that we have and new college football world that we have, where you're much like with college basketball. And we kind of brought this up earlier, where maybe the veteran teams that have seniors that return and that have been together for a long time, that becomes a thing. And it becomes something that catapults, obviously the talent has to be there, but it becomes something that catapults these teams to things going forward.
Well, and we're living in a weird world. Like, you know, if you think about it, I mean, think about the world we're living in right now. We're paying these kids a whole lot of money to be to play sports, to play college sports. Fine, be it. I'm not upset with that, by the way. But let's not also act like we're asking them to be student athletes. Like, we're paying them to be players. We're paying them to be football players. And we're just at a crossroads between, like, how do we have this professional sports league or feeder league to a professional sports league, whatever you want to call it. It's, these guys are hired players. Like, they are, but they're not, but there's not a there's not a place in the world where you don't have somebody and you don't have a contract that's binding, like that somehow makes this where both sides are kind of in this together. Like, it's more individualized than ever. And one side can come in and be like, I don't want to play unless you pay me more. Like, that's just kind of the way it is. And there's not, there's other places like this, but it's professional sports. And so it's such a weird time, but you're right. Like, and that's the beauty of Ohio State. And listen, they had their ups and downs throughout this season, but again, a ton of guys that have been there for 4 and 5 years that, and then infuse some of the other young guys, but so many guys that love Ohio State, love where they're at. Sawyer talks about it all the time. That dude was an Ohio State fan, grew up in Ohio. That's what he wanted to be. That's who he is. Like, I think you're going to find, like, the character of the kids are going to matter more than they used to, because I need guys that want to fight with me. I need guys that are resilient. It's really hard to build resiliency and toughness when you know the guy can just pull the parachute and go somewhere else. Like, if it gets hard, it's like, yeah, I'm out. And it's a tough world to be in, man. So we're kind of caught between, this is really professional sports, and, oh, but there is this education student athlete piece that's just a bunch of bullshit. I mean, it is. Like, it's crap. So where does the next domino fall and go? And I think if we made this a contract sport that was binding on both sides, which is, I think, what we're going to get in the very near future, it's a better business to be in. Because I'm just telling you, these coaches, I talked to a team that was the number one team in the country or close to it in the beginning of the season, Brent, like 4 weeks into the season. This coach was freaking miserable. It's a head coach at a major university. He was like, when I tell you, like, he's like, we suck. And I'm like, you're like the number one team in the country, coach. He was like, these kids just, they're hard to deal with. Like, he was like, they have their handouts. They're entitled. They don't want to work like they used to. And just, it's a tough world. So that, yeah. So it's a great point by coach that the kids you can get to buy in and be about we and not me. We and not I. That's a tough deal when I am getting paid more than you.
Very much so. On the bright side, though, we had a great weekend of football, and we get to watch a football game tomorrow night that is, you know, for a championship. All right, so we got both head coaches would be first-time champs. What does a championship mean for Ryan Day? What does a championship mean for Marcus Freeman to you?
What a great question. Ryan Day is number one in FBS as an active coach for win percentage. And you would think that dude was on the hot seat and should be fired because of Michigan. Yeah. So the championship, it doesn't nullify Michigan's a year ago, but he's like, we got the recent one. We still lost to you. I think it builds like all the positive juices back, and it gets everybody back behind him again, because it's, even though he's number one at 87%, something like that, 69 and 10. And there's still negativity coming his way and calls about his job and what should happen. And it's kind of crazy, but it's because of that Michigan piece. I think it kind of puts that to rest and it puts it behind him, which is good. But
how long? I think Mark,
until Michigan next year. I mean, till they, right? Like, I mean, it's still, but Ohio State, like when we spin this forward and start talking about Ohio State moving forward, their best two players, one on offense, one on defense, they're both coming back. Well, hold on. I guess they could jump in the transfer portal. If Caleb Downs graduated, technically he could get in the graduation transfer portal. And if Jeremiah Smith wants to go in the portal, he can. So I guess I'm assuming, my assumption could be wrong. You know what assuming makes an a-hole out of you. So that's what I think about that. But the other side, Marcus Freeman, I don't think it changes anything. I think Marcus Freeman has looked at a guy that's just turned 39 years old, winning at a high level despite having the more talent than everybody else, and made of the right DNA. I think people have already bought into who he is, what he is. I think it would be the cherry on the sundae, and it would probably, you know, expedite recruiting. But I think Notre Dame's well on their way already, and Marcus Freeman already has the clout and already has the love that he's earned and deserved because of who he is and what he is. So obviously a little more slanted one side to the than the other to me.
Yeah. And with Freeman, obviously his name has been linked to like the Bears job, potentially some NFL jobs or NFL teams have talked to someone, offer him like Notre Dame's will pay him like all that sort of money. So does that, the lure of the NFL maybe? Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's there to go be great and keep being great.
Did you see like all the people that have made fun of Notre Dame for years and done the air quotes like they're not in a conference? Did you see what that got them paid, Brent?
Oh yeah, they get the line. Ohio State has to share all the money. They get, Notre Dame doesn't have to.
Notre Dame, because they're not in a conference, they choose to be different. They have the NBC deal. Notre Dame makes $20 million for showing up in this championship game. I think Ohio State makes 1.1 because,
yeah,
again,
that was the number,
they share it with the conference. They share it with all the other conferences. My gosh, you talk about like a reason to be independent. Holy cow. Like now there's other things that go into being in a conference and TV deals that obviously skew the numbers in a different direction too. But man, Notre Dame comes out smelling good when you look at those numbers.
Very much so. So for folks who haven't listened to us already, we talked very sort of nerdy nuts and bolts stuff on Friday, and that's on the channel there. So game itself, what is, like, if you had to pick like one question that ultimately decides the game, what is that for you? I've got mine if you want me to start.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Ohio State can win this game a multitude of ways. Ohio State can turn the football over. Ohio State can miss opportunities and still win the football game. Notre Dame can only win this game if they play clean. Like, Notre Dame's going to have to win the turnover battle, no doubt. Notre Dame's going to have to win the time of possession battle. And Notre Dame's going to be able to run the going to have to be able to run the football when it matters most. Third and short, fourth and short, goal line situation. So to me, those are a couple things off the top of my head. Like, I just think there's other factors with the explosiveness of Ohio State, the ability to have balance in the offense, playmakers all over the field. Like, I thought about this, Brent, and I'll ask you this before you answer your question. Brent, how many players, total players, would you take from Notre Dame's roster and insert into Ohio State's starting lineup? I'm going to give you some time. We watch all this tape, and we are nerds, and we love this game. We love watching tape. We love breaking it down. How many players are you going to take from that Notre Dame team and go, yep, you'll start guaranteed right here at this spot?
One is instantly thought of, the Moore kid at corner. I think he starts at Ohio State. After that, though, it's like, okay, you're going to – like, Shuler's been awesome for Notre Dame, been a phenomenal player.
Yeah.
He ain't starting over Caleb Downs. Sorry.
Nope.
Caleb Downs is the best defensive player in college football.
Running backs.
Xavier Watts as the other safety, but Ransom's been really good. Like, I think they find a place for Watts. Like, and obviously the running backs can, I think, are very on par, at least maybe a little bit close with Ohio State's running backs. But, yeah, outside of that, I don't know if you're getting a starter.
I think offensive line somewhere, maybe
one spot, but that's you're nitpicking there.
But I mean, that doesn't that speak to like Notre Dame can only win this game one way, and that's they lead the nation in turnovers, turnover margin, or forcing turnovers, making some mistakes, forcing Ohio State into some mistakes. Like, they're going to have to do that. A kick return, good kick, field goal unit, a punt return, something like that, man, is going to have to be a part of their plan and a way to get it done. What was yours, though?
I was going to say, my only question for this game that actually ultimately determines, can they get to 20 points? Because I don't know that they can. Because if you look at Ohio State's schedule, Oregon got there at the very end. But other than that, it's Oregon, basically, twice. Outside of that, Nobody's gotten to 20 points against them. I don't know that it's the only way. I think Notre Dame wins this game if it's less than 20, 19 to 16, 17 to 14, much like flip the script from last year's game. But yeah, I don't know that they can sustain enough offense. It's hang around for as long as you can, I think, for the most part. But this is, do you want to pick the game already or no? We want to hold that off for a second.
Sure. I'm ready for it if you are.
Because my pick is, I'm like 40% of me thinks that this game ends up being a 14-plus point Ohio State win. But I think I'm going to go with the majority of what I'm thinking is that it's going to be close, that Notre Dame's just going to find a way to do what they've done all season and hang around. But Ohio State wins by making a stop in the very end of the fourth quarter, maybe even a goal line type stop.
I was going to say, you put that out there?
Yeah, I've got Ohio State 20, Notre Dame 13. I think Notre Dame does cover the spread. So,
I had 27-13. I think Ohio State will have more success. But again, it's just styles that match up together. And I think Golden will have a plan. You go back to last year, you go back to the year before, like he's really great at what he does. But you got to find ways to beat so many people. And there's just so much speed on the field. And Henderson is the guy to me that's been He's just a playmaker, man. Like he runs at a different speed. It's 1.5 on your cell phone. Like it's just, you know, you it just gets there faster, right? Like it just goes. He's the guy that can bust it loose, and he doesn't get a lot of carries, but he's the guy that makes it go, whether it's a screen, whether it's a run, and I expect him to do well. And I just the Ohio State defense is just good. And it's just so good front to back, back to front, in the middle. They're very athletic. Like the only thing that can really make this game a big game is if Notre Dame can run the football consistently. And that's a lot to ask against a really, really good defense. I mean, a really good defense.
Yeah, it feels like they need a couple, like a 98-yarder, you know, but a big explosive running play, big type touchdown type run. Or Great House is great again and makes a big play down the field on a one-on-one situation, that kind of thing, to find them points. Because that's the part. I don't know, sustaining offense, will they be able to sustain offense? Maybe. And maybe this is like I said, I do think it ends up being close. But I don't know. The thing you talked about there, the defense part, I think that if I look back at college football, the totality of the season, the defense wins championships mantra that has existed in this sport forever is very much back It was gone for a while in college football. It was very much about your quarterback and your receivers, and it still kind of is, but it was, if you can't score 30, you can't win a championship. And now I don't think that's, and moving forward, I don't think that's going to be the case.
And I think that's for a reason. I think that the offensive talent will, and quarterbacks and receivers, they'll continue to get paid better than everyone else. And they will continue to be spread out all over the country. So I think defense will become more and more important. X factors to me, Brent, like, you know, it's a Mitchell Evans type of a guy. Like it's an Evans.
Game last year.
It's an Evans. It's a Great House. Like, can those two guys be very consistent? Notre Dame does it by committee. And it's really literally like sometimes it's one, sometimes it's the other. And so who can step up and make those plays? I think those are two names to have for you if you're Notre Dame. They've got to be really, really good. Everybody knows about Riley Leonard. Everybody knows about Love and Price. Like, those are the two cats that if they can step up and make plays, because Riley Leonard – he's not a pocket quarterback that's going to eviscerate you. That's not who he is, man. Like, I think his high game is passing for like 220, which
he had 223 against Penn State.
Which, guess what? 223, I'm pretty positive Will Howard threw for that in a quarter against Oregon. Like, it was definitely the first half.
Half.
I mean, so like you talk about like explosiveness in one direction, it's very much, you know, on the other side. But can one of those two guys make a play, step up, be an X factor to catapult Notre Dame to a little bit more offense, a little bit more time of possession? And I've been over the moon impressed with Marcus Freeman's game management. Like, game management, the fake punt versus Georgia, the clock, the fourth down and ones, like, we are who we are. We're going to go for this freaking thing. That's what we do. I mean, he seems like he's been prepared for every moment. So I feel like he'll be prepared for this moment too. He's just going to have to overcome a lot of talent on the other side of the field. He's done it before. I mean, Georgia had a lot more talent than them. Like, they did. I mean, Penn State probably has a lot more talent that across the board than Notre Dame. Draftable guys that are going to get, you know, picked, and they still more than held their own and obviously took care of business.
I think it's close. I do. I think we bucked the trend, and I talked about it on Friday that we had these sort of so many straight years where the favorite covered, so many straight years with the underdog, and now we're on a run of like five straight years that the favorites covered the spread for the game. I think we buck the trend. I think we get a good game because I like to speak that into existence too. Try to, because I want to watch a great game. Like, Ohio State, Texas was a great game. Penn State, Notre Dame, great games. I want to watch a great game tomorrow night.
Yeah, and plus we haven't had very many in the playoffs. So it's good to have those games. Either way, We'll be back, and one side of the fan base will be really happy, you know, the Irish or the Buckeyes. But everybody else, man, you got optimism, because I'm telling you, man, the portal and all these decisions that are made, you can turn your team around really, really quickly. And we'll keep you updated on the portal stuff, and we'll keep you updated on all the things throughout the offseason. It's a sport that really doesn't have much of an offseason anymore, which is really kind of fun to – yeah, to be a part of. I mean, that's what's really been fun about college football. And the NFL playoffs are fantastic, too, if you ever want to talk about those, too. I'm always game for that, Brent. But I think we'll have plenty to talk about with college football, too. And then the draft right around the corner, which is all the guys that we've been watching for all these years that go in and, you know, they do their underwear Olympics. It's really great, you know, getting their underwear and run around. And
I can't wait for you to tell your story about the combine. Because that's going to be a great one. Because I think there's a few players, one that's going to be drafted really high, that might want to borrow your how you took care of your weight and things like that at the combine. So, like Travis Hunter might want to add a few LBs before the combine.
There's ways around everything. We'll give you some of the secrets to working through the combine, some past stories, all that good stuff. But we'll see you guys tomorrow night after the national championship game. We'll do the recap. And one more round, baby, one more time. And we appreciate you guys sticking with us. Listen, man, we just love talking ball. We love having you guys. We love having questions. And so we'll keep doing that throughout the offseason as well. But we'll see you guys tomorrow night, and we'll have a new national champion.